Chapter 5, Dual Agents, a Big Problem. In real estate, agent representation is serious business. When agents either give advice or represent buyers or sellers, they have created a relationship called agency. Agency establishes the most necessary aspect of a transaction, trust. Dual agency is when the agent who represents the home seller simultaneously represents the home buyer. I'm not going to tell you how big of a mistake this is yet. That agent is what's called a dual agent. It means the seller's agent and the buyer's agent are the same person, a dual agent. Under dual agency, the agent makes both ends of the commission, the seller side and the buyer side, effectively taking a double commission, otherwise known as double ending. Yes, double the commission. As you can imagine, this can be problematic. Keep in mind that an attorney can only represent one party. There are obvious reasons for this. Why would you want the other side to know your bottom line and your motivations? When a transaction is separated by two different agents, then each agent knows only what their prospective client reveals. Dual agency can also occur when there are two different agents in the same brokerage handling your sale. How can agents tell the seller that they're working hard to get the highest price and then tell the buyers that they're working hard to get them the lowest price? This is an obvious conflict of interest. Many agents, however, are open to it or outright trying to double-end a deal. It should be obvious that allowing your agent to be a dual agent is a big seller mistake. Rarely are you ever told this. There are almost 2 million agents handling 5 to 6 million home sales a year. Given the opportunity, most agents would love to double-end a transaction. Three types of agency: buyers, sellers, or dual. Most consumers don't fully understand real estate agency. This means the implications of the terms also escape them. Let's handle some legal definitions first, courtesy of CAR and the California Civil Code. Agency is the relationship or representation created when buyers and sellers seek an agent's advice in a real estate transaction. If there is a licensed agent in the transaction who is not a principal, seller or buyer, then that licensed agent is acting in one of three capacities: the seller's agent, the buyer's agent, or as a dual agent representing both buyer and seller. A seller's agent, under a listing agreement with the seller, acts as an agent solely for the seller. A seller's agent, or a sub-agent of that agent, has the following affirmative obligations to the seller: a fiduciary duty of utmost care, integrity, honesty, and loyalty in dealings with the seller, as well as diligent exercise of reasonable skill and care in the performance of the agent's duties, with a duty of honest and fair dealings in good faith, and is not obligated to reveal to either party any confidential information. They are bound ethically to act in the best interests of their clients. Fiduciary services are the highest degrees of service an agent can provide. The buyer's agent owes the same duties to their buyer. This all may seem straightforward, but there's some interesting facts that most people, even licensed agents, don't know. One is that making a commission has nothing to do with agency or how your agent operates. In other words, even if agents are not earning a commission, they still owe you the above-defined duty of care. Another thing overlooked is that the California Civil Code advises that all of the duties of the dual agent in a real estate transaction do not relieve a seller or buyer from their responsibilities to protect his or her own interests. That's right. In dual agency, you still need to protect your own interests. Believe it or not, dual agency is completely legal in most states, including California. In states where dual agency is allowed, the agent can legally represent both the seller and buyer in a transaction, only with the knowledge and consent of both the seller and buyer. A dual agent has the same duties as in the paragraphs above, a fiduciary duty of utmost care, integrity, honesty, and loyalty. The agent may not, without the express permission of the respective party, disclose to the other party that the seller will accept a price less than the listing price or that the buyer will pay a price greater than the price offered. That's a tough spot for an agent. And for sellers, it's tougher if the agent you hired is now representing your buyer, in effect, your opponent. Most state laws require that any agent who has more than a casual relationship with a client needs to present disclosure paperwork explaining agency. NAR says only 27% of agents provide any agency disclosure paperwork at their first meeting with the buyer. NAR doesn't even ask sellers when or whether their agent provided this information. Agency is so important, however, that the paperwork for disclosing it is always the first set of documents that an agent fills out. However, the paperwork is often buried in the overwhelming stacks of paperwork that many people don't read as carefully as they should. Additionally, agency disclosure documents are also what lawyers ask for first in a real estate dispute. Another set of facts known in the industry, but not by the public, is this. The three issues that cause the most disputes for residential real estate agents are breach of fiduciary duty, misrepresentation, and fair housing. Ask any attorney, brokerage owner, or heirs and emissions insurance company. They will also tell you that the average dispute costs sellers over $25,000 to resolve. Dual agency is that big of a deal. Dual agency can negatively affect sellers. How do sellers assure themselves that they are benefiting from the laws and regulations about dual agency? They can't. You've probably written offers on a few homes that were rejected. Perhaps you followed up and found out that the listing agent represented the buyer. Maybe that's why you feel you didn't have a chance. It's upsetting. As a buyer, you learn that it's tough to find a great deal and that the good homes receive a lot of buyer attention. So maybe now you've decided to go directly to the seller's agent to increase your chances, knowing that the agent will make a double commission. All you have to do is tell the listing agent that you want to buy the house and you don't have an agent. The buyer is happy, and usually the agent is happy. But I'm not sure how a seller can be happy when the buyer has an advantage and their agent makes a double commission. You and your agent need to decide if you will allow this. Better yet, hope that your agent voluntarily tells you they won't allow dual agency. There are a lot of angles to consider. Here's another familiar situation. You've found a home that you want to buy. Your agent calls the seller's agent and says, "Are you representing a buyer on this transaction?" Depending on state laws, the seller's agent is supposed to answer you with a yes or no. Hopefully the answer is no. If the answer is yes, you need to consider whether you'll have a fair chance to buy that home. You'll also need to ask yourself if the agent is representing other buyers, and if not, then how does the agent choose which buyer to represent, or does the agent represent them all? It's a mess. I have my own buyers. When listing agents say they have their own buyers, it takes the wind out of other buyers' sails. Looking at homes and putting together an offer is emotional and time-consuming. When a buyer finds out the seller's agent has their own buyers, they think to themselves, why on earth would anyone want to write an offer with a high probability of being used or rejected? After all, if the seller's agent's buyer doesn't get the property, then the agent's paycheck gets cut in half. There's actually also a chance the seller's agent is going to present your offer to the seller and tell them, I have a better buyer who will beat this price. I know my buyers, I have a lot of control over them, and you will love this outcome. It usually sounds compelling if the agent knows the script and the seller doesn't know better. Sellers only know what their trusted agents tell them. This is what it's like for other buyers who have no chance. They get used for the advantage of the agent. The other buyers set the price and terms, and then the listing agent swoops in with their own buyer and a double commission. As you can see, dual agency discourages buyers in the market. When it is abused, it causes sellers to get fewer offers, and they probably end up with the lower sales price. Is it provable? In court, many times it is, even out of court. Overall, It's common sense. Only a few seller's agents will say something to a potential buyer to the effect of, "I won't represent a buyer on this transaction, so I encourage you to write an offer." A statement like that is like hearing bingo. You now have a fair opportunity to write an offer that will be objectively presented to the seller, knowing that you won't be competing with the seller's agent. Giving the marketplace a fair chance is exactly how to get market price. It's no surprise that many buyers feel that they need to go to the listing agent to buy a house. Some have told me they always do it. I don't blame them. Still, everybody gets used, especially the other bidders and the seller. This happens so often, and to be honest, I'm tired of it. If your agent is a dual agent, you might want to ask how the brokerage handles multiple offers when one of the buyers is also represented by your agent. In most brokerages, the assistant manager or manager might step in only during the bidding process to help provide a level playing field. Even if a manager steps in during negotiations, the agent is still making double the commission, still represents both sides, and other buyers know that they are competing with the seller's agent, which can disenfranchise potential buyers. After, the dual agent usually handles everything from there, including negotiations for concessions. Again, how do dual agents push hard for a buyer concession when they are also representing the seller? Let's take it a step further. How much more difficult is it for the dual agent to treat each side fairly when the agent has a much longer and deeper relationship with the seller? Maybe your agent has a much longer and deeper relationship with the buyer than with you. Why does dual agency still exist? Dual agency in residential real estate is still popular, yet NAR doesn't provide any statistics on how often it occurs. However, a search of nationwide MLS listings suggests anywhere from 10 to 20% of all deals are dual agency transactions. Keep in mind that intended dual agency transactions don't always work out. Some transactions don't make it all the way to a closing, and for good reason, so the above estimate is low. Often, a seller thinks that having the same agent handle both sides of the transaction is a plus, especially if the agent convinces the seller that this is beneficial to them. It sounds efficient and easy, and most agents will tell you with a smile that it's no big deal. Of course, many of my colleagues love real estate for the opportunity to double pop the commission. It's easy, because buyers often call the listing agent directly, and agents know this. This is why we have a saying in real estate, the listing agent is king. Listing agents have a huge amount of power in real estate transactions because they control all access to the property and the seller. And even though my colleagues won't enjoy hearing this, we've all noted to each other that having a real estate license is like having a license to steal. Sellers and buyers are just too easy to take advantage of because they trust their agents implicitly and don't ask the right questions at the right time. According to NAR surveys, the top three factors that consumers consider when choosing a real estate agent are reputation, honesty, and trustworthiness. Dual agency tends to destroy reputations and give clients an opening to question an agent's trustworthiness. It tends to be fueled by greed, creating problems for both consumers and brokerages alike. Despite legislative efforts by realtor associations in states across the country, dual agency is still allowed in most states, including California, where state lawmakers have lowered the standards of representation. It just needs to be disclosed. However, Alaska, Colorado, Florida, Kansas, Maryland, Oklahoma, Texas, Vermont, and Wyoming either ban the practice of dual agency or severely limit it to a functionary or transactional agency in which an agent works with both buyer and seller but has no fiduciary responsibility to either party. A fiduciary can easily do functionary work. A functionary cannot easily do fiduciary work. These states that ban or limit it have not relaxed their laws. It's that important to them. The Consumer Federation of America, an association of 300 nonprofits, totaling 50 million members, has been calling for states to ban dual agency and make disclosures less confusing. Buyers and sellers often don't understand the role their broker plays, the group reported. Today, many home buyers and sellers do not know whether their agent is representing their interests, those of the other party, or those of neither, says Stephen Brobeck, a CFA senior fellow. More downsides of dual agency. NAR tracks legal trends and surveys agents on the types of legal issues they encounter through an online system called LegalScan. Incredibly, every year, over a third of all survey respondents reported a moderate or high level of current disputes involving agency issues. A quarter of all respondents said they believed there was a significant need for training on agency issues in general. Numerous surveys bear this out. The fact is that agents usually gloss over agency concerns. If you've interviewed an agent, you know how easy it is to focus on strategy, staging, or marketing instead of something as dry as agency. And why would some agents want to cut out the opportunity to double their pay? Recently, the State of New York Office of General Counsel published a memo titled, "Be Wary of Dual Agency." The office cautioned consumers that by consenting to a dual agency, you are giving up your right to have your agent be loyal to you, since your agent is now also representing your adversary. Once you give up that duty of loyalty, the agent can advance interests adverse to yours. For example, once you agree to dual agency, you may need to be careful about what you say to your agent. Although your agent still cannot breach any confidences, your agent may not use the information you give him or her in a way that advances your interests. Earning a double commission is extremely tempting for most agents. As you've probably figured out by now, one reason homes don't sell is that the seller's agent is favoring their own buyers and trying to double in one of their own clients. Sellers are often unaware of these shenanigans. I've been hired too many times as the second or third agent to sell a home that ended up selling easily just because we welcomed all buyers. It wasn't rocket science. Avoiding a lawsuit. Dual agency is also an easy way to get into a lawsuit. It may seem unfair, but dual agency provides easy targets for attorneys because dual agents have trouble proving that they didn't stifle competition, that they represented their client, and got the highest price for a seller. If you ask for legal advice prior to hiring an agent, you will definitely be told to not allow dual agency. I work with a lot of attorneys, and I can't tell you how many of them tell me, had they just asked me before selling their house, they wouldn't be in this predicament. Some agents will flat out tell their buyers that they have no other options to get the house. If these agents don't flat out demand buyers' business, then they will give hints to that effect. See the chapter about open houses for other instances of what many attorneys deem more predatory behavior from agents. If your agent doesn't voluntarily explain agency, then you either need to let them know how important it is to you or move on to a different agent. It needs to be discussed. What do leaders say? As much of a problem as it is in California, our legislature has rarely made a successful push to limit or outlaw dual agency. The California Association of Realtors spearheads the arguments to keep dual agency legal. Yes, you heard that correctly. They make two arguments. First, that it's unfair that a potential buyer can't go directly to the seller's listing agent if they want to buy their home. Second, the buyer shouldn't be forced to represent themselves or find a blank offer form on their own. I guess our legislators fear that a buyer may not be able to find an agent. Remember, there are over 2 million licensed agents. The commercial brokerage industry also supports dual agency. Represented by the American Industrial Real Estate Association, they feel that doing away with dual agency would harm small businesses by adding costs and affecting relationships. They reason that consumers should be able to go straight to the listing agent if they have a pre-existing relationship, such as from a tenant lease extension. They also feel that doing away with dual agency would eliminate freedom of choice, as it would provide certain firms with additional commission fees for services that are not wanted, but rather are mandated by law. NAR and CAR want to preserve dual agency. It says so right on their websites. They even fundraise and have an action fund for it. If you search "Fighting for Our Profession" under CAR or NAR, you will find that the top two priorities of both NAR and CAR are preserving dual agency and the mortgage interest deduction. Go ahead and Google it. NAR has money, connections, influence, and resources that are usually put to very good use. Keep in mind, as with many large organizations, not all members agree with every effort. You may have noticed that I'm an NAR member. That's because I'm with a national brokerage, and since they are members of NAR, I am required to pay my NAR dues. You could say that I'm forced into it. When I quit dual agency. Over the course of several years, I sold three houses for Dave, one of my best friends from high school. One of these sales was his luxury townhome in South Pasadena back in 2010. After 3 months of relative inactivity, an interested couple called me from Florida. They said they didn't know a single person in California, so I asked Dave for his permission to represent them. Dave agreed, and those Floridians flew out and bought the home. Dave was thrilled with the sale, and I felt I had been extremely fair to both sides. Later that year, however, Dave made an offhand remark about how much money I made double-ending the sale. This was my best friend saying that, not a normal client. I'm a sensitive guy. It bothered me. I felt like I did something wrong, and it made a lasting impact on my career. That's when I stopped being a dual agent. Thank you, Dave. In the long run, dual agency wasn't good for my business. I built my career on referral and repeat business. I rarely advertise. I work hard to make my clients happy with my service and ask them for referrals, as any good salesman should. I also track where my business comes from. I always felt I represented my clients at a high level, but on transactions where I was the dual agent, I received fewer referrals. When I stopped, it was a shock to my old manager. Nevertheless, he also said he respected my decision. The importance of preserving a good reputation was another reason not to represent buyers on my seller transactions. Agents know the local agents who practice dual agency. These agents aren't overly respected. Other agents try to avoid the big abusers because we all know our buyer will be competing with their buyers. Imagine being an unsuspecting seller who hires one of these agents. While buyers and sellers don't know who they are, the agents do. They think their agent is the hardest working agent in the area. They seem to bring more buyers than the other agents. No one will tell you what their reputation is. Most sellers will never find out because critiquing another agent to a member of the public has major legal ramifications. If I told you who the dual agency abusers were, I'd probably get sued. Single agency, great for business. Not representing two sides of a deal has several benefits. Local agents know their buyers have as fair a chance as anyone at my listings. They look at my properties very differently and want to show them. Lazy agents will tell their buyers to call me for information, knowing I won't steal their clients. This leads to my listings getting more offers than most other homes and generating bidding wars as well. Saying no to dual agency means I get hired more often and I get more referrals. When I have the chance to explain to home sellers how I'll be their advocate from beginning to end, I almost always get hired. In many cases, the seller says that I'm the only agent who offers single-party seller representation, a high-level fiduciary service. I'm often asked, what do I do when a buyer calls me and says they don't have an agent and they want to work with me to get the home that I have listed? I tell the buyer that I have an agreement with the seller that specifies I can't represent a buyer on this transaction, though I'm happy to tell them everything about the property. Prospective buyers almost always thank me, often admitting that they already have an agent and will stick with that person. These buyers lose what they had hoped would be an inside track, but I tell them I don't play that way and that everyone has the same fair chance to buy the home. Rarely does that conversation end poorly. I even offer to help buyers find an agent to work with if they really don't have an agent. Yes, I'll find them an agent. There's approximately 2 million real estate agents in the United States. That means one in every 152 Americans has a real estate license. In California, that ratio is closer to 1 in 40. The funny thing is, rarely does anyone need a referral. Find your true advocate. The dual agency conversation should be a significant talking point, and it should happen early in the interview process. When interviewing agents to sell your home, keep note of those who tell you upfront and voluntarily that they will be your advocate from start to finish. These agents get bonus points. If you interview enough experienced agents in your area, you will find someone who values the importance of this devoted relationship and high-level fiduciary service. If that happens, take a moment to smile. Once you've found your top agent and avoided dual agency, are you all set? Not yet. You're still far from the finish line. There are many more mistakes you'll need to avoid during the sale of your home.